This is Alive with Joseph.
Glory to God. Welcome to the house of the Lord and welcome to this beautiful Sunday morning. And I'm trusting that God will do great things for us. Amen. In the first service, Ramirez was the one teaching, and I'm going to pick it up from where he left it. He stopped at, he gave us 3 points, and the third point says, commit to his body. Amen. So I'm going to pick it up from where he left it. We've been looking at stubborn faithfulness, and he dealt with an aspect of that. And he stopped at, he gave us 3 points, you know, he stopped at the third point, which was, you know, commit to his body. Second point was commit to God's word. And the first point was we must be faithful to commit to God's will through prayer. So let's now get into the third one, which is commit to his body. And I'll pick it up from there. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The Message translation puts it this way. It said, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Then go with me to Matthew 16. I'll look at verse 17 to 18. I'll do my best not to run off so that, you know, we can communicate properly. Now, verse 18, verse 17 to 18, Message translation says, Jesus came back. God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on this secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell you who you are, really are. Who you are, really are. You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I will put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. Amen. So we're looking at, we can do more. Hallelujah. You know, Augustine said, I begin with a quote. It says, anyone who calls, you know, God his father should love the church as his mother. I love the illustration Ramirez gave, you know, in when he was teaching, talking about the God and Jesus is the head and the body is the church. The body of Christ is the church, and he was given a relationship between him and his wife. Imagine if he only loves the wife's head and doesn't like the wife's body. Actually, he said he will not be alive now. Amen. Hallelujah. And that is so true. So Jesus is the head of the church, and the body of Jesus is the church of Jesus Christ. And Augustine said, anyone who calls God his father should have the church as his mother. That is, after you get saved, God calls you to be part of a church. And this is how it works. You are saved and called to belong to Jesus. And afterwards, you're called to belong to a church. You're saved, called to belong to Jesus. And afterwards, you're called to belong to a church. Why? The church is your mother. Why? God is your father. The church of Jesus Christ is designed to nurture you and care for you as a mother would do to a child. The same way a mother would do to a child. That is how the church is designed to nurture the believer. Then God gives you a pastor after his own heart, as he has given to you for me to be your pastor or to be a pastor over your life. Now, a pastor after his own heart that will equip you to live victoriously. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 12, New Living Translation puts it this way. It says, now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church. So you seated in this sacred space, your responsibility is to do God's work. Your responsibility is to build up the church of Jesus Christ. So when you come into a place like this, we equip you, we strengthen you, we empower you so that you can do God's work. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15 says, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So my job, the job of the pastor, my job over your life is to feed you with knowledge and understanding. To feed you with knowledge and understanding, to equip you, to make sure that you are properly equipped so that through you being equipped, you can become relevant to the purposes of God and to the agenda of God. Our job is to equip you, to make sure that you are properly strengthened. So I spend all the time to gather the ingredients that are necessary to cook the right food for your life. And it is so interesting to know that at a Life Church, God has blessed us. You know, you don't just eat one course meal. In this place, it's a buffet. You know, if you were here when Ramire was teaching, that was something else. It's a buffet. You're not just eating, you know, pap and flace. No, you're eating balanced diet. Give Jesus praise. Hallelujah. I say give Jesus praise. Hallelujah. Amen. So God equips you, sends you into his house so that you can be equipped. Verse 16 of Jeremiah 3 now continues, and it shall come to pass when you be multiplied and increase in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more. They shall say no more. Anyone that is fed by the pastor with knowledge and understanding, this is what happens to them. Number one, they are multiplied. They increase in the land. They multiply. They increase in the land. I pray for you. You will increase in the name of Jesus. I say you will increase in the name of Jesus. Then they are able to say no more. They are able to say no more. They are able to say no more affliction. They are able to say no more battles that I cannot gain victory over. Then he continued, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall they be done anymore. So once you are fed, you multiply, you increase. Once you are fed, you multiply, you increase. So then nurturing of a mother helps a child to properly develop in life. And that is why God saved you. And the next thing he did was to send you to a living church like a Life Church, as he has sent you here, so that you can be nurtured. He sent you so that you can be nurtured. God's house is a safe place. And you and I, you know, one thing you must believe, understand is, when God brings you to a safe place like this, the whole agenda and the program of God is so that your nurturing can have a proper, how will I put it, so that your nurturing can be proper, so that you can be focused and well directed in carrying out heaven's assignment that is upon your life. So God's house is a safe place, and we believe that anyone and everyone belongs in this house. Anyone and everyone belongs in this house. And if you believe that you belong in the house of God, give Jesus praise this morning. Please give him praise this morning. You know, Ramirez said, you know, that the Christ is the head and the church is the body. People say that they belong to Jesus, they don't need to belong to a church. So just the illustration he gave, you look at your wife, you say, I like your head, but I don't like your body. I like your head, I don't like your fingers. I like your head, I don't like your toes. So here, people say often that, you know, I belong to Christ. I don't belong to any church. You see that often, you know, the jargons going on social media. I belong only to Jesus. I don't belong to anybody else. I don't belong to any church. My friend, that person is in error. Because you cannot receive Jesus without the church. Jesus is the head of the church. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the bride of Jesus. You cannot say you love a man and hate his wife. Give Jesus praise this morning. Actually, if you want to make me your enemy, just hate my wife. Then you become my full-time enemy. Ask anybody who has tried it. Just, I notice you dislike my wife. You become my full-time enemy. Why? Because it's not possible to say, Pastor, I love you. But you see, Pastor Cody, I don't love her. No, 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 no. It can't work like that. Why? Because they two have become one. If you hate her, you indirectly hate me. Are you understanding me? So the church is Jesus's bride. So anyone who says, I belong only to Jesus, I don't belong to anybody, you know, I belong only to Jesus, I don't belong to any church, they are in error. They are in error. Hallelujah. You know, it's like, you know, it's like someone, a child who says, you know, I don't need my mother. Or who says, I don't like my mother's body shape. or who says, my mother is not pretty enough, or my mother is not dark enough, or my mother is not light-skinned enough. So as a result, because of, you know, any, you know, deficiency I've seen in my mother's body, I no longer like my mother. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I was watched a movie by, what's that lady's name now? One of these ladies, you know, and the daughter was complaining about her snoring. She said to the daughter, you know, I labor all my life to take care of you. So when I'm snoring, treat it like Marvin Gaye's love song. So when I'm snoring, treat my snoring like Marvin Gaye's love song. You know, listen to it with joy and with thanksgiving. Amen. Let's give Jesus praise. Hallelujah. Now, there are no perfect church on the earth, but there are healthy churches, and I believe that you are sitting in one healthy church. Hallelujah. Give Jesus praise. Amen. A life church is a healthy church, and that is why God brought you here, so that your life can be nurtured, prepared for eternity with God. The church is God's purpose on the earth, and you have been called to purpose, which is the church. You have been called to purpose, which is the church of Jesus Christ. Brian Houston, you know, he said, you know, the founder of Hillsong Churches, he said, church is where we gather under one name, with one heart and one vision to worship the only one. It is where we gather under one name, with one heart, with one vision to worship the only one. Go with me to Psalm 92, verse 12 to 14. I read it, says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted, emphasis on planted. Those that be planted, where are they supposed to be planted? In the house of God. Where are they supposed to be planted? In the house of God. Let's read it together, if you don't mind. Everybody, let's read the big Bible on the screen. 1, 2, 3, let's go. Okay, everybody, not few of us, everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. Shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord. That is why God wants you to be planted. Thunder after me, say, I will be planted. Thunder, I will be planted in the house of God. Amen. Why must you be planted? Because the Bible calls you the trees of righteousness. That is why you must be planted. Every tree that is not planted will never survive. Any tree that is not planted will never survive. Why must you be planted? The Bible calls you the trees of righteousness. The Bible calls you the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That is to say, friends, God is glorified when you are planted. No tree moves around. God is glorified when you are planted. Any tree that moves around is not a tree. Any tree that moves around is not, because the position of a tree is to be planted and stay there. That is the only way the tree is guaranteed to flourish. That is the only way the tree can bring forth fruit. So God wants you to be planted in a church, and he brings you to a church like this so that you can be planted. He doesn't want you to be planted in churches. There are those who are planted in churches. Have you seen a tree that is planted in Polokwane and also planted in Johannesburg and also planted in Cape Town? The tree's root is in Polokwane. There's also another root in Cape Town. There's also another root in Durban. There's another root in Malawi. There's one more root in America. There's another route in London. Have you ever seen such a tree? Please, if you have seen, I would like you to introduce me to such a tree. God wants you to be planted. Not to be planted in churches, to be planted in the house of God. He said, those who are planted in the house of God, not those who are planted in the houses of God. Those who are planted in the house of God. So God wants you to be planted in the house of God. God wants you to flourish, and you cannot flourish until you are planted. Listen, your flourishing is going to be dependent on you staying rooted where God has planted you. You've got to be settled. You've got to be rooted. You've got to be grounded so that you develop roots downwards and bear fruit upwards. The reason why many believers have been believers for so many years, and is not reflecting in their character, not reflecting in their day-to-day living, is because they have not bear fruit downwards. As a result, they have not grown roots downwards, rather. As a result, they are not bearing fruit upwards. Any tree that is not planted can never bear fruit. Why? The nutrients that will enable the tree bear fruit is in the soil. Is right in the soil. My friend, the nutrient that will enable you live victoriously as a believer is in the house of God, where God plants you. That is where God expects you to be nurtured, be taken care of. God expects you to be properly fed. God expects you to be, you know, to be catered for, to be watched over, so that you can flourish, so that you can bear fruit. I pray for you. May you flourish in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your amen. As you plant yourself in the house of God, may you flourish in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. God wants you to be planted. You can only be in one place at a time. You can only belong to one church, not churches. It is they that are planted in the house, not they that are planted in houses. There are many who are planted in houses. I'm not saying that you cannot drink from someone else. You can drink from someone else. But you are planted in a house. One of the challenges we have in our time is spiritual prostitution. There are many believers who have become prostitutes in the realms of the spirit. They are just, you know, today, you know, they know where to get prophecy, so they go. They know where to go get prayer, so they go. They know where to get vision, so they go. So they are planted in houses. Houses, if they need prayer, they come to our life church. They need prophecy, they know where to go to. So when they finish, you know, one sister told me something some time ago. Oh God, Jesus. You know, when you've pastored so much, you've heard all kinds of things. You know, he said that was during the COVID time. You know, the sister told me that, you know, when I finish at a life church, you know, I enter this one. When I finish this one, I enter that one. When I finish this one, by the time she counted for me, she joins 5 different online services. I said, this one will die. If you eat like that, you will just die. You will kill yourself. Because you have no time to digest what you have eaten. Imagine, you know, they say it's a buffet. You know, you, there are those who do that anyway. You put everything inside your plate. Everything. Give Jesus praise this morning. Hallelujah. I'm trying just to have a discussion with you so that. Amen. Okay. Jeremiah 23 verse 3. He said, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds. They shall be fruitful and increase. Everybody must belong to a fold. You can't be everywhere. You must belong to a fold. You are part of this fold, and that is why God brought you here. You're not here by mistake. You're not passing by. God brought you here. You are part of this fold. This is your fold. And why is it a fold? It is a fold because there is a pastor there. And the job of the pastor there is to feed you. That is why I go out of my way to feed you. My job is to feed you. That is, you have to belong, get involved, be useful to the work of God. Be useful. You cannot be attending a life church now for 6 months. You don't belong anywhere. You're a freelancer. The team used that word last month. You're a freelancer Christian. You're just freelancing everywhere, you know. You don't belong anywhere. You don't commit anywhere. Nothing, you know, you're just everywhere. You know, even sometimes you rock up, you say, I'm a member of the church. We're looking at you. You, are you a member of the church? When? How? Where? Who? You don't even sound like us. Amen. Give Jesus praise. Hallelujah. That clapping is very weak. Give Jesus praise. Hallelujah. I know. If I'm declaring that never again, you have been screaming, never again, never again. You have been screaming, never again, never again. This one is the never again that helps you. Amen. So give Jesus praise one more time.
So our vision as a church is not just to touch Polokwane, but to affect the entire province, to be one of the voices that helps to add value to our nation, to touch the global community, to play our role in touching the global community. And we've seen that through the morning prayers. We have so many nations that join, people who log in from different nations. I was shocked. You know, those who join us from the United States, we have a couple of them, and we had a Zoom meeting with them the last time, you know, just to catch up on a couple of them. And I'm shocked that when we are 5 a.m., some of them, it's about 11 p.m., 12 midnight, when they join those prayers. And they join faithfully. They join faithfully. They invite everybody else. They join faithfully. Hallelujah. We have those who join from Europe. Why? Because the mission is beyond Polokwane, so that we can be part of a global voice, the Church of Jesus Christ, that is touching the global community. So as a Life Church, we are all about serving Jesus. We are all about serving Jesus. We are all about the love of Jesus. We are all about sharing the love of Jesus. We are all about seeing the Church of Jesus Christ flourish. And we want to reach as many people as we can. That is why we use the word each one, reach one each week. Each one, reach one each week. It's not a cliche. It's not something that it's a mission. It's our assignment. Grow big, grow up, grow together. Grow big, grow up, grow together. Because our mission is to touch as many. There are many out there who are not following Jesus. There are many out there who are not followers of Christ. You and I have a mission to reach out to them. We have an assignment to reach out to them. There are many who are on their way to hell, that God, by his mercy, allows you to come in contact with them. He doesn't want you to come in contact with them and they remain the same. He wants, by the time they meet you, somehow, they should, by one way or another, hear the love of Christ. Either they hear it from your tongue or they see it from your activities. Give Jesus praise this morning. So we're on a mission. We want to reach as many people as we can, create as many waves as we can, but in all of it, reflecting as well the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've received so many testimonies of the men who attended the men's conference, how their lives were changed. So many testimonies. And I'm not talking about, you know, I'm talking about men who were invited by other men who came into the men's conference. That is the mission, to be able to touch lives. Listen, government program cannot help the men of our nation. Those programs are politically engineered to fail. In fact, right from the onset, it will fail. The only help men have is Jesus. Let's give Jesus praise this morning. The church is not called to be an enforcer of rules, but an outpost of grace. Brian Houston, you know, tells us that. So we are in this together. Thunder after me, say, we are in it together. I didn't hear you say, we are in it together. You know, don't ever say, no, it's not about me. It's them. It's them and us. No. We all are in it together. It's not about us, but it's about Jesus. But we all are in it together. We're in this together. You matter. Are you understanding me, friends? You matter in this heaven's project. And often we have this attitude that, you know, God, I'm just going to pray about it and leave it there. Listen, I love, you know, one thing I love about one of my mentors, you know, my spiritual father, Pastor Andre, is, you know, he doesn't believe in praying about it and leaving it there. After we pray about it, don't forget, you are the one that God is counting on for the job to be done on the earth. We pray about it, we do the do's. We are the ones that must do the job. We don't just pray about it and leave. Let's pray and leave it in the hands of God. Listen, if we have left today's service in the hands of God, we wouldn't have service. Amen. Are you with me here? If let's assume we left the service today in the hands of God, we prayed and said, let's, as we have finished praying, I gathered the team members and said, we have prayed, let's leave it in the hands of God. You will not have praise and worship. You will not have the announcement recorded. You will not have someone who welcomes the new people. You will not have someone who came and arranged the chairs. You will not have the protocol guys at the door. You will not have the service team members. You will not have, you know, the security guys. You will not have the car park guys, the car guards. Let's assume, we prayed and say, let's, after praying, we leave it in the hands of God. Hasta la vista. Everybody go. There won't be church. Amen. But after we prayed about it, what did we all do? We took actions. Obri, get into position. Service team, get into position. Worship team, get into position. Who is leading prayer? Get into position. Car guards, get into position. Security team, get into position. Everybody fall into line so that we can be able to serve God's people that are coming. If we have left it in the hands of God, you wouldn't have a chair to sit. Because nobody will have arranged the chairs. Give Jesus praise. Hallelujah. Look at someone next to you. Nudge them a bit. Tell them, stop leaving it in the hands of God. Stop leaving it in the hands of God. You know, that's a Christian way of, a lazy way of escaping responsibility. We pray and leave it in the hands of God. God is not the one that is going to come down and usher the people. You are the one. God is not the one that is going to give towards paying municipal bills. You are the one. Imagine we don't pay municipal bills. Say we leave it in the hands of God. When Polokwane municipality arrives, you will know. And you tell them, you tell the accounts department, we left it in the hands of God. They'll be looking at you. Are you people normal? You left it what? Paying your municipal rates and taxes in the hands of God. Amen. So look at your neighbor again. For the last time, I won't ask you to do it again. Just for now, for the last time, tell them, stop leaving it in the hands of God. God is not the one that is going to come and help out in the children's church. You are the one. You are the one that will help out. Yes, the church is all about Jesus, but we are the one who God will use. God always depends on people. God always depends on a man. He always depends on a woman. He always depends on his people to carry out his mission here on the earth. And you and I are the one that God will use. Give Jesus praise. Hallelujah. You know, I love Pastor Brian Houston a lot. He's one of the men that God has really used to add value to my life in ministry. He says this. He said, great churches aren't built on the gifts or talents of a few, but on the sacrifices of many. Imagine if we all stayed home today. We stayed home today. Today that is, you know, Sunday. We all, imagine if everybody stayed home. Who would have sat here? It took you sacrifice to take a bath. Sacrifice to navigate through finding a where you can park your car. Sacrifice. So it's obvious that God uses people to build his church. He uses men and women, boys and girls, to build his church. And God always will always use people. He will always. And when God calls you into a church like this, he has done that by calling. When he calls you into a church like this, into a life church, God has called you into this place because, you know, God expects certain things from you. Number one, he expects you to stay planted. He expects you to stay connected. Number two. Number three, he expects you to stay strong. Number four, he expects you to stay focused. Number five, stay humble. Number six, stay hungry. Number seven, stay rooted. Number eight, stay excited. Number nine, stay willing. Number 10, stay joyful. Number 11, stay true. Above all, just stay. God wants you to stay. God wants you to stay. God plants you so that you can stay. That's why God plants you. Listen, one of the greatest weapons of success is consistency. There is nothing Pastor Joseph is doing now that I started doing now. Everything you see me doing now that God is using to lift the church and bless his people is, I've been doing it not today. It didn't start today. Consistency. Consistency. My friend, the reason why many believers are not reaping the benefits of being born again is because they are not consistent in their prayer walk. They are not consistent in their journey of faith. Today they pray, tomorrow they don't pray. Today they are serving God, tomorrow they stop serving God. One moment they belong to a group, after a while you don't see them. The next moment they disappear. The next moment I'm asking Tombi, where is that sister again? I said, we have not seen her for some time. Where is that brother again? He has stopped coming to pray. Consistency. That is the key to every tree that flourishes. No tree removes itself and say, I'm tired. You know, there is no enough rain today. Let me remove myself. I hear that there is rain in Cape Town. Let me quickly go to Cape Town to receive rain. No, the tree remains there. Come rain, come sun, the tree remains there. Hallelujah. So God wants you to stay. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, it was God, the Father, who was working. In the Gospels, it was Jesus who was on the earth working. But now, in the New Covenant, it is you and I, via the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, that must be working. Listen to what Jesus said on his ascension to glory. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said, but you shall receive power, and after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, you shall be witnesses. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You shall be witnesses. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem. In our case here, our Jerusalem is Polokwane. Our Judea is Limpopo province. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea. Our Samaria is the entire nation of South Africa. We shall be witnesses. He always uses people. He always uses men, uses women. God uses people to accomplish his mission on the earth. Speaking to Joshua, God said to Joshua, be strong and courageous, because he is the one God is depending on. God is depending on Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. God is depending on you, Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 verse 6. He said, be strong and of a good courage, for unto these people shall that divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Joshua, be strong. Wherever you are this morning, God wants you to be strong, be courageous, because you are the person God is depending on. The same way God is saying to you this morning, be courageous and be strong. He's saying that to you because he's depending on you. He's depending on you. His mission on the earth has to be carried out. Imagine when you got born again, if the one who was supposed to preach to you rejected the assignment God gave them, you wouldn't have been born again. You wouldn't have been born again. The one who led you to Christ, the one who preached the message that you received, or let's assume you got born again in a conference. Let's assume the church did not accept that responsibility to put together that conference that got you saved. What will have happened? And the same way, many of you are delaying the salvation of others. You're not accepting the responsibility. So many are not getting saved the way they ought to get saved, because you are delaying their salvation. Hallelujah. So what amazes me a lot is, you know, how God looks at you and I and choose to depend on mortals like us. You know, it amazes me. And that is how much you and I mean to God. That is how much God trusts us. That is how much God believes in us. And that is how much God brags about us. When we look at the life of David, you will notice when Samuel came to anoint a king in his father's house, everyone who Samuel thought was the one was actually not the one. Because God doesn't choose us based on our human abilities. He doesn't choose us based on our strength. He doesn't choose us based on anything we can offer in the natural. When David, who didn't look like it, walked in, the Bible said, immediately God said to Samuel, this is the one, this is the one. This one that doesn't have six pack. This one that doesn't look athletic. This one that I've never been to the military. This is the one I'm looking for. The one that was forgotten. My friend, you are the one God is looking for. You don't have a title. God is looking for you. You are not an apostle. You're not a bishop. You're not a pastor. You're not a reverend. You're not archbishop, archdeacon, deacon plus times two. That is not what God is looking for. You are the one God is looking for. Thunder, I am the one God is looking for. No, listen, don't let anyone intimidate you with title. Everybody answers apostle these days, apostle this, apostle that. My friend, you, simple brother, that's who God is looking for. Simple sister, that's who God is looking for. Give Jesus praise this morning. God is looking for you. He looked for David. He looked for David. He bypassed Eliab. Eliab was not just, he was one of the top guys in the military, in the army of Saul, but God bypassed him. Bible said in 1 Samuel 16 verse 12, 1 Samuel 16 verse 12, quickly he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. Thunder, I am the one. Say loud and clear, say, I am the one. His grace has qualified you. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in Christ. You are not disqualified, friends. You are not disqualified. The next phase of our assignment, God is depending on you. The next phase of our assignment, the next phase of our journey, the remaining 4 months, we are going to harvest souls like never before. God is depending on you. And together we will do more for Jesus. Give him praise this morning. He's depending on you. He's depending on you. You qualify for the assignment. I say you qualify for the assignment. So when you feel like you're not good enough, you are the one. Even when you mess up, you are still the one. Even when you feel like you've lost your way, can I tell you, newsflash, you are still the one. Even when you feel like the worst human on earth, you are still the one. God will flow through to make his church great on the earth. Give Jesus praise this morning. You are the one. Don't let anyone disqualify you. Don't let anyone say that you don't look holy enough. You don't look righteous enough. You're still the one God will use. God uses vessels. He uses vessels. He said, in a great man's house, there are vessels. There are vessels of honor. There are vessels of dishonor. Honor, dishonor. That's the only two vessels. And if any man therefore shall purge himself of this, they shall become vessels of honor to God. Make yourself available to him. Give Jesus praise this morning. Please don't disqualify yourself. We have a brutal 4 months ahead of us. We need to depopulate hell. We have an assignment. We're not going to fold our arms and say, okay, you know, I can't. No. We keep reaching. We keep touching more life. Don't you see? That is why every prayer service in the morning, I come with new zeal, new fire, fresh. You know, I come with, smoke on my head. The devil is a bastard. Every prayer service. New zeal. Every prayer service. Because he's new every morning. He's new every morning. Hallelujah. So we're going to do more for Jesus in this season. You will give more. We will sacrifice more. Imagine those who made the sacrifices for the men's conference. Even, I said to the brethren, even in the according to statistically, based on the tickets sold, we had about 450 men. In the conference, we had more men in our conference than the women's conference, than the EOG conference. The EOG conference was 350. We're not saying it for laughter. No. We're trying to show to you that with the EOG conference was 350 tickets that was sold. The men's conference was 450 tickets. 100 men more, and they say women gather more than men. No. Anytime Jesus is preached, a generation will gather. You know, I said to some the brethren, you don't find even 450 men in a club. So we've gathered what Satan cannot gather. Please give Jesus praise. Imagine all the seeds sown towards those lives, towards those destinies. Imagine if we had folded our arms and said, well, actually, men don't gather. No. We step out in faith. We step out in faith because God is depending on us. We are the one. We didn't look like it. Ordinary Joseph. Who is Joseph? How do you even spell it? Joseph or Joseph? How do you spell it? Amen. How do you, you know, if we had folded our arms and say, you know, little us, but we stepped out in faith. We were like the four lepers. We gathered ourselves. Why sit we here until we die? If we sit here, we will die. If we get here, we will die. We might as well just trust God. We stepped out in faith, and heaven amplified our faith. That's what we're doing in the next 4 months. We are stepping out in faith as a church. We will touch more lives. My friend, 4 services is loading, whether the devil likes it or not. We will reach more destinies, touch more lives. Give Jesus your praise this morning. We can do more. We can do more. We can do more. We will give more for a greater cause. Sacrifice more for a greater cause. We can build a great church that will influence our city. Enthrone godliness in every sphere of the city. We can spread the message of Jesus like crazy in these next 4 months. Touch as many lives as we possibly can. Do you know what has been going on? I said to my wife the other day, you know, that every morning, do you know that every morning in this city, in the prayer altar, the voice is echoing in the atmosphere. The voice echoing. It gets to my house. My neighbor the other day said to my wife that, hey, I hear. She actually exactly said, I know when pastor goes to the stage. She gave the exact time. The pastor goes to the stage around about 18 past 5. And that's exactly when I go to the stage. Say, because I hear his voice. As far as where my house is. So you can imagine the morning prayer. How he's dethroning foul devils. As they are flying. They say, ah, don't go there. It's a no-fly zone. Let's return back to Joburg. They are still sleeping. Oh, yes. Give Jesus praise. Ha! Let's return back to Durban. They are still sleeping. Polokwane, no fly zone. Limpopo province, no fly zone. Because every morning, if people lift their voice, Gagaraba Gadaya, La Doza Bagadaya, Jesus, we enthrone you. Father, we thank you. We honor you. We give you praise. We are declaring. The atmosphere sanctify. The atmosphere cleanse. My friend, give Jesus praise this morning. Hallelujah. We are a can-do people. I say we are a can-do people. Hallelujah. So we'll do more in this season. Let's have that in mind in this season. That God's hand is upon us. He is not asking you to be that person and leaves you alone. He accompanies you. And one of the things that is evident at a live church is, you know, you can see the hand of God is upon us. It's too evident. It's too evident. Even the blind man can see that the hand of God is upon this house. You can see the hand of God is upon the people of this church. Before I came to the service, I received an email, a testimony. I get so many testimonies. People I may never get to meet in my entire life. The other day I got a testimony from a couple who are in Abu Dhabi. People I may never get to meet in my entire life. But because you and I dare to say, Jesus, we present ourselves as an ordinary flute. Just blow through us. Whatever noise you can make through us, just do it. Any kind of melody you can, just go ahead. We are not a golden trumpet. We are not a golden saxophone. We are just a ram's horn. But that boo you will do, please do it through us. We are submitting our hearts. Hallelujah. As I release you to go this morning, know that he has chosen you just as you are. He chose you as flawed as you think you are, as frayed as you think you are, as weak as you think you are. He chose you as you are. Romans chapter 8 verse 29 to 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Let's give Jesus praise. Amen. So at Alive Church, we are all imperfect people who has come to a perfect God who loves us in spite of all our imperfections. God has chosen every one of us just the way we are. None of us here is disqualified. Listen, you are not disqualified. None of us is disqualified by our natural abilities. His love, his mercy, his grace qualified every one of us. God has also empowered us to overcome. We are empowered to overcome. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, yea, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the reason we overcome is because we are full of the Spirit of the living God. We are full of the Spirit of the living God. We are equipped by the Spirit of the living God to bring the message of hope, to bring the message of grace to our city, to our province, to our nation, and to the global family. We are well equipped. We are well equipped. We are well equipped. So I want us to live with this confidence this morning that we are equipped by the Spirit of God to do whatever he has in store for us to do. Because God crowns our year with his goodness. And our part will always drip with abundance. I'm just imagining what will happen. I've already told the team. I will start having our meetings to start preparing for the crossover night. Last year's crossover night, it was something else. I can imagine what will happen in this year's crossover night. Why? We're reaching more souls. The prayer and fasting next year. I can imagine what will happen. If you and I does not step out in faith, God will not be able to do what he wants to do. It's how I will build my church. It's his church. In every morning I come here, I declare every Sunday service or any of the service, I declare Jesus, the owner of his church. When I declare that, I acknowledge he's the owner. I'm just a privileged servant. He will build his church. And God is depending on you and I. He is the owner of our life church. Hallelujah. I say Jesus is the owner of our life church. I say Jesus is the owner of our life church. So our life church, we're equipped to make Jesus known. We're equipped to make him known. And don't forget, as I close, don't forget, there are people who continue to tell us that we can't do this, we can't do that, we can't do this. I'll never forget this. Forgive me, I'll keep mentioning it, but you know. So many years ago, a pastor looked and said, yeah, well, you can never, you know, grace revolution. I'll not stop mentioning it. Grace revolution. That's him being cynical and trying to say, what are you people trying to do? You know, man, look at you and say, what can you do? Remember when Nehemiah was building, they say, even what they are building, when foxes, you know, come on it, they will pull it down. And today, that same grace revolution is revolutionizing everywhere. So there will be cynical people around that will come and say, what are you people trying to do? You're trying to behave as if you're in America. No. We belong to Jesus. We'll touch as many lives as Jesus wants us to touch. Celebrate the Lord this morning. So don't let anybody tell us what we can't do. No, we can do all things. We can touch more lives, transform more destinies. I remember when we started the morning prayers, and a pastor looked at me in a network meet and they wondered. I said, is this sustainable? That's what they asked me. I said, yes. Why is it sustainable? I pray every morning. So in the morning, the prayer I ought to pray in my own time, I come online and I say, everybody, join me. Let's pray together. That's all. It's sustainable. It will not have been sustainable if I don't pray. So every morning, you know what you're doing? You're just joining me in my morning devotion. I invite you in via the cameras. I say, join me because I'm about to pray. And I know you want to pray as well. But you don't know how to pray the way you ought to pray. So I invite you to join me. Let's give Jesus praise. So there are those who ask us, is it possible? Is it sustainable? It will not be, it will, we can ask that question if we're depending on our own strength. But we're depending on the owner of the church. Him sustaining his church is more than possible for him. We can do all things. It's not a cliche. It's a promise in the new covenant. Give Jesus praise this morning. Let's go home. Hallelujah. So let nobody tell us it's not possible. Let's rise on our feet as we go home. So our mission remains to touch, transform, and shape lives with the word of God. It has not changed. Our call is to raise change agents. As I said earlier on, we're on a mission to grow up, grow big, grow together. Grow up, grow big, grow together. Nothing changes on that. Now lift your voice.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.